Good evening, everyone. At this time, I'm going to call the City Council meeting for February 23rd to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. I just want to give a quick roadmap of where we're going this evening. So next up, we're going to have the salute to the flag. Then we will have the national anthem play. Then we are going to do a special acknowledgement after the national anthem. Then we will have general communications. Then we will have executive communications from someone from the Comprehensive Community Action Program. Then we will do public comment. So there is a sign-up sheet on the podium if you would like to do public comment. After public comment, we will pause the full council meeting, and we're going to go back into committees as we did not finish the committees at this time. So right now, I would like to call on Jamie Clampett Hayes to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Okay. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which we stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets red glare, the balls bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the hope of the
Thank you very much. At this time, I would like to make special recognition of Jamie. She goes by Jamie the Hurricane this evening that led us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Jamie is a Warwick resident, lives in Greenwood. She has two children and a husband, and is also a four-time world boxing champion. Jamie the Hurricane, she was introduced into the International Women's Boxing Hall of Fame in 2020. So a Hall of Famer right here in Warwick, Rhode Island. Jamie is also a small business owner here in Warwick, and she owns the boxing and fitness gym On the Ropes. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Jamie also sold out the Crown Plaza Saturday night, where people came out to see her second fight since retirement after two children, already in the Hall of Fame, came back and won in the main event on Saturday night. Jamie is a part of CES Boxing, which is a Rhode Island business that does promotions, boxing, mixed martial arts across the country. And they're based here in Rhode Island. And they chose Warwick. They chose the Crown Plaza. And what an event it was. I was telling Jamie I'd never been to a boxing match before. It was exciting. The crowd was lit. Everybody was excited. And to see a hometown hero like that win, it was excellent. So I just wanted to take a special moment just to recognize, again, a mother, a wife, a four-time world champion, a Hall of Famer, a small business owner, and a Warwick resident, Jamie the Hurricane.
Thank you.
Jamie, I don't know if you'd like to say a few words,
Thank you so much. When my promoter, Jimmy Birchfield, gave us, you know, talked about having my fight in Warwick, I was just so excited. I live in Greenwood. Having it at the Crown Plaza was huge for me. And obviously my gym, two out of three of my business partners are here, Kathy Lyons and Tracy Lombard. We were just so excited to just keep everything in Warwick. We had so much support with local businesses like Vonda, Dino, he owns some restaurants in Warwick. And we had Aruga's, Apnog Brewery. Had so much local support. And I think it was just a huge success. And we just want to keep all of that in Warwick and just continue to move forward with boxing.
Thank you so much. And we really appreciate you highlighting that. I know Venda is a Warwick business here in Apnog. And Camille Vela Wilkinson, a state rep, is here. So I wanted to thank her for coming out. She's been a big supporter of the small business community here in Warwick. Mr. Birchfield, again, an international promoter, has his business here in Rhode Island and is bringing business here into Warwick. So this was just an outstanding event. I think we live on the same road, and now I know, and I'm just really impressed. I just wanted to highlight, this is one of the things that this city council wants to do, is we want to take the opportunity at the beginning of council meetings to really highlight the all-stars, the great things that is happening in our community. Mm-hmm. And you were one of the best. So I just want to thank you so much and welcome to the council meeting.
Thank you so much.
We are now going to move on to general communications. That was my general communications. I was just so proud of the event that was put on at the Crown Plaza. Again, great stuff, and thank you to everybody that was involved. Any members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
A brief announcement. As mentioned a few weeks ago at a previous council meeting, we are going to be resuming the Tax Relief Commission meetings. This is for the purpose of, in advance of this year's budget, seeing if we can come up with some solutions to help those who can least afford to be hit by a tax increase. Specifically, we are focusing on looking at what can we do with our current exemptions? How can we make any changes needed to make sure that people aren't falling through the cracks? So that meeting is going to our first of this year, going to come back here in the council chambers starting at 5:30 this coming Monday, which is Monday, February 28th. We do have the council chambers reserved for some future meetings as well as the library, but future scheduling is going to be a decision made by the commission as a whole at that time. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I'd just like to also second what you said with the special guests here. Being the young Irish kid who grew up in prominently Italian Silver Lake, everyone knows who Jimmy Birchfield is. So I can tell you I was especially honored a couple of years back when Representative Ella Wilkinson introduced me to him. It was a big honor. And the fact that you, the mayor, Representative Ella Wilkinson, and Mr. Birchfield arranged to have a Warwick resident come out of retirement and keep that belt, retain that belt, and represent Warwick. And something I didn't know, and I'm so happy I learned over the last couple of weeks, means a lot. And so I just wanted to thank everyone for that team effort and bringing that into Warwick. And thank you for coming tonight, everyone. It's a great honor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other council members? So obviously you guys are more than welcome to stay for the rest of the council meeting, but we wanted to thank you very much. We have a lot of interesting topics to come up, but we understand if you like. So thank you very much. Thanks. Next up on the agenda this evening is executive communications, and I'm going to ask Councilwoman Travis to introduce our speaker this evening, who is going to give a brief overview of some programs that are available to Warwick residents. Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, Mr. President, it is an honor to introduce today Michael Freitas from the Comprehensive Community Action Program to give a nice brief overview of the programs available to Warwick residents. So, Michael.
You had a tough act to follow there, Mike. Sorry about that.
All right. They keep saying brief because they know I can talk, so I will be brief. First off, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to come and share some of the stuff that we have going on in the community. Like they said, my name is Michael Freitas. I work at Comprehensive Community Action Program. Now, I'm not here to talk about that specific agency. I'm here to talk about a state-funded program that I just happen to work, and I am the initiative director for this new program. It's called Health Equity Zone. It's been around in the state for a while now, and it's a Rhode Island Department of Health-funded program. And what it does is it's a resident-run program. So the residents essentially are my boss. And what they say goes, right? We go out there, we survey the community, we do different data, entry stuff. We do different data gathering, speak outs and stuff like that. And what we do is we take all that data, and what the residents say that is most important to them, we go back to the Department of Health as a team and get funding. And then that funding comes down for particular programming, and we, as a board, we give out that money to the particular agency that might be best suitable to tackle that particular problem. So, for example, our board consists of, we call it a leadership team, and our lit team is consisted of 16 residents scattered all over each ward. And 12 agencies, Thrive Behavioral Health, Comprehensive Community Action Program, Elizabeth Buffum Chase Center, West Bay Community Action, the list goes on, all right? And all of these agencies are in Warwick. And some of these agencies, a lot of people don't really know about, like, for example, CCAP, we have two medical facilities in Warwick, one on Post Road, right, connected with Thrive Behavioral Health, and another one on Buttonwoods Avenue. Some people don't know that, West Bay moved out to Jefferson Boulevard. Some people don't know about Elizabeth Buffum Chase if they're going through domestic violence. So what we do is we try to educate the community and we try to help the community as much as possible. But again, what happens is our board is 60% residents. So at the end of the day, the residents have the voice in what we do for our programming. Right now, we've been an initiative giving out, I got 8,500 testing kits that I've been giving out to the community. We did a thing, I put an ad in the paper, we did a give out at the Knights of Columbus. And what happened is Rhode Island Department of Health gave us some cold spot areas in the city of people that were having trouble accessing at-home tests for COVID. So what we did was we tried to do these things inside these cold zone areas. And what that is Sandy Lane, Church Avenue, Connecticut, Oakland Beach. So I did it at the Knights of Columbus so that way we could kind of be in the middle for these folks to come down and get these testing kits. We're hopefully doing another one right in Connecticut And then I've been giving them to local churches, local businesses, different things like that. We have a survey going out to the community in about 2 to 3 weeks. That's going to go to all sixth grade and up students, so sixth grade through 12th. We'll get a youth survey, and then their parent or guardian will get a parent or guardian survey to do. And then what we're doing is we're going to break each ward up. So a lot of you have already met with me, and we've talked about different things, and we've been working together. We're going to do 3 wards at a time and do speak outs. So 7, 8, 9 will have a speak out at Tollgate High School. You know, 1, 2, 3 will be at Pilgrim. 3, 4, 5 will be at Warwick Vets. And we have the school department on board to go out there and let the community come out and tell us what their biggest issues are. If it's, you know, health issues, if it's, a diabetes issue, if it's housing, if it's, transportation, if it's, access to mental health care, substance abuse care, whatever it may be. And we'll go and get the funding from the Department of Health and bring it back and then disperse it out to the community to give those people what they want. I've worked already with Councilman Sinapi in the area over by Nilo Hotel. We've already implemented programming for the folks that are there, that the homeless folks that are there temporarily we're doing. We're providing medical and dental and transportation to those appointments, as well as behavioral health. And West Bay is providing food and clothing for folks when they get housed out of that particular area. And then we've been trying to educate the community on what's going on there, because I know a lot of folks were very upset about that particular situation. And what we do is we want to help as many people as we possibly can, but we also have to remember we can't forget about the community members as well. So those are just some of the things that we're doing. We're getting out there. We're out there in the public. We're, I'm starting to build a team. We're hiring for folks to come and work and who want to help and who want to be out there, working with people on a regular basis to try and help with their needs. And over the next, couple months, we'll be doing a lot of research and data. And once we get, the data back and we get what the needs are, we will put the programming together. So I appreciate the time. And like I said, again, it's called Warwick Health Equity Zone. We shorten it up and we call it Warwick Hez. And we will be here. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me afterwards. Or you can go on the Department of Health website and look at some of the other cities and towns that have done this and some of the things that they have going on that we will shortly be bringing to Warwick. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And just give you the best contact information if residents want to follow up with you or members of the council.
Yep.
The best contact information.
So best contact information, you can call me at 401-439-3805. And my email is mfratus. So it's mfratus at comcap.org.
Thank you very much for sharing that very important information.
Thank you.
And this was under executive communication, so any questions can be asked after the council meeting. Thank you.
Do you have a Facebook page too? I see it being mouthed to you.
Oh, yes, we do. You can like us on Facebook, Warwick Health Equity Zone, and Instagram as well.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next up, and then I just want to make one last call. We're going to do the acceptance of the minutes right now, then we're going to do public comment. If anyone would like to speak for public comment, last call to sign up on the podium right here, or see our Sergeant of Arms. Okay, we're now on A on the agenda, the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on February 7th. Do I have a motion?
Favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you very much. All right, we are now on public comment. Rule 41. After the general communications and prior to the consent calendar at each City Council public hearing meeting, there shall be a 15-minute period during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues, subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall be 15 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of 15 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous consent. At this time, we have two individuals who have signed up to speak. The first person this evening is Rob Cody.
Good evening, council members. So 6 months and 1 week ago today, on August 17th of 2021, the hidden for 3 years YKSM report and the Harrington report and the Rhode Island Supreme Court precedents rulings were unearthed by the Rhode Island Ethics Commission due to a complaint that I made on a former council member. These reports detailed very explicitly about the fact that the Warwick Fire Department engaged in illegal activity and conspired to abscond monies from the taxpayers of the city of Warwick. Those monies, combined with the cost to expose it, was $611,000. 1 week after that August 17th issue made the newspapers, this mayor of Warwick came public and said he would seek restitution. He spoke to me in that parking lot face to face and told me he would definitely seek restitution. I was also told by people to give the new mayor some time because he's a good guy and he's going to seek restitution. And if he didn't, that there'd be a resolution put forth before the city council to open this discussion up to the general public because the taxpayer needed restitution from the theft of taxpayers' dollars. Nothing's happened. It's been 6 months. So I'm not sure how much time we're supposed to give the mayor to act. And the city council has done nothing. So it appears from the outside looking in that the lack of action on both the mayor and on the city council seems to support the activity that it's okay in Warwick to steal from the taxpayers because we don't do anything about it. And God forbid there's a chance that we have to go to court. We certainly don't want to spend any monies. However, the Supreme Court precedent shows clearly that the city of Warwick is on solid legal grounds to seek restitution. And we would not incur any legal costs because all the mayor needs to do, and he and I had this conversation, and he's the CEO now, is to take the action and garnish the wages of those that stole the monies from the taxpayer. I'm sure he understands the concept of garnishing wages to recoup monies from entities that did not deserve those monies or did not pay those monies back. My prediction is nothing's going to get done from the executive branch or the legislative branch, and you'll send the message, it's okay to steal from the taxpayers. At the last council meeting, Mr. Schaefer had spoken about that there's problems in the language of the fire contract that was ratified January 6, 2020. In particular, he spoke about the fact that there's ordinances that should have been made, instituted about the OPEB trust fund. And if you recall, five members of this council that voted for that and pushed that contract stating it would save $600,000, both myself and Mr. Cushman testified not only would it not save $600,000, we'd probably spend an extra $4 million. But certain members of this council pushed that it would save $600,000. Well, who was right? The taxpayer was right. However, during the debate with Mr. Cushman on the OPEB trust with Mr. Harrington sat there and stated that the language was defective in that contract and it needed to be resolved by ordinance. It's been 2 years. It has not been resolved by ordinance. Mr. Schaefer pointed it to it at the last Zoom meeting. And 2 years, and the council hasn't done anything about it. So that issue, combined with the issue of the fire department conspiring to steal, you've put us at risk. The lack of the action from the city council to do what they're hired to do, you have put the taxpayer at risk again for litigation. You know, $611,000 buys a couple of trash trucks, buys a couple of rescues, and I just can't for the life of me understand why no one in this body has had the fortitude to come through and put through a resolution to resolve this in public so this could never happen again. And everyone sits there like it's not an issue. The finance chairman has done nothing. The council president has done nothing. And we've had this conversation numerous times. I don't understand that. You're justifying poor behavior. In fact, you're justifying criminal behavior. And I don't understand why you've done nothing other than the fact that you're afraid of political fallout. What else can it be? I'd like somebody to speak to me and tell me, why is it taking so long? Didn't hid a document for 3 years. Document clearly states we're within our rights to for restitution. This council does nothing. Mayor does nothing. 6 months. Send the message up. Put it on the billboard. It's okay in Warwick to steal from the taxpayers because the executive branch of government and the legislative branch of government will do nothing to stop that behavior. The only action that I've seen is for certain council members to vilify the people that figure out what you guys are doing wrong. They take steps to name call in the newspapers and on social media. Yet, they were unable to figure out the mathematics that was so easy to figure out.
You have 1 minute, Mr.
We were being
robbed. Mr. Cody, 1 minute.
I heard you.
Okay.
We are being robbed, and now we have a defective contract that's put us at risk again for litigation, and five members of this council that voted for it, although we told them what would happen, they ignored us, we were right, and yet you sit there and do nothing about it and allow the taxpayers to get burned. Seriously, you guys make that statement all the time. I hear this honorable body. Well, I propose that that term never be used again under this roof because it does not apply. Thank you.
Next up is Cindy Wilson.
Good evening, everyone. There's two points I want to make. First of all, for the people on the council that went on Next Door Neighbor or their Facebook page and put down Mr. Cody for exposing the truth, shame on you. Shame on you. Because the truth about the mayor. Because once you run for office, your life is public. He omitted those facts on the Ethics Commission form. He omitted them. He says now he's not sure if he did. He didn't see.
You need to keep this to city issues. That
yeah, this is a city issue.
No, it's not a state issue. Please keep.
Okay, this is a city issue because for those of you that did and you know who you are, and put down Mr. Cody for telling the truth, shame on you, because you know what that means to me. You're just looking for political favor. That's all that means to me. Secondly, finally, the mayor called me about my Airbnb issue. I'm sure you're all familiar. I've been fighting the battle for 6 years. If I had to guess, the reason he called me was because a reporter reached out to him about something different and he thought it was me. But I did get to meet with him, and his proposal was lame at best and nothing, just terrible. And so I want to be able to meet with all of you personally to tell you my experience and why what Mr. Picozzi is saying we should do with Airbnbs is totally wrong and why it won't work. And I think I have the right because I was forced to pay close to $3,000 6 years ago to run my Airbnb, the only one registered in the city. So I'm going to reach out to each one of you via text to set up a meeting because I know that Mr. Lattiser is going to put this on the docket. And I want the opportunity to explain to you where I sit and the reasons why I feel the way I do. And nobody would be better to do that than me since I'm the only legal one for 6 years. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we are going to pause the council meeting and we are going to go back into committees. Do we want to take a 5 minute break before we start the committees? Restart the committees? All right. Thank you. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Bid package they would like to pull for discussion. I would request that we do that now. I will start with the committee. Thank you. Is there any items from that the committee would like to pull from the bid package? Or are there any items? Take your time. Are there any items from the bid package members of the council would like to take? Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, 2023-005. I have a question and I didn't get a chance to call her. So.
I apologize. Which one was that, please? I'm sorry.
2023-005, National Night Out Fireworks Display.
2023-005. Got it. Are there any others, Councilwoman?
No.
Thank you, ma'am. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Item number 10, 2022-336. Item number 11, 2022-337. And item 15, 2021-363.
Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you.
Councilman Gebhardt? Okay. Any other members of the council like to discuss anything from the bid package? Oh, not there. Members of the public, is there any item from the bid package you would like to have pulled and discussed? Members of the public. Oh. Good evening. Please state your name.
Ready? Yep. Hi, good evening, Pauline Genest again. Only because I am not familiar with the exact
Certainly.
Way we're supposed to be doing this. I just wanted to make sure that we still had an opportunity to discuss the surveillance cameras before it goes up to vote. I do understand that a PCR number was made. I'm a little iffy as to
okay.
how that works.
So the bid package, because that was a bid item, it was, as you know, it was mm-hmm. given a PCR, which means it'll go to the full council. No recommendation, so we did not recommend approval and we did not recommend denial.
Mm-hmm.
Once it gets to the council, an open discussion will continue. And then, Mr. Solicitor, if I missed anything, just for clarification.
I would just note that the public hearing portion of the evening has concluded on that item.
I understand that. I'm just
trying to... The full body will, when we reconvene, it will be discussed amongst the nine members of the council as to what, if anything, they wish to proceed on.
Okay, now going to the full council having this conversation, is that something that happens tonight? Is that something that
yes.
happens? So that is something that will come up for a vote today?
Yes, it will.
It will
It'll go on our general docket for this evening, yes.
So it definitely will have a vote going on and you'll have a discussion prior to that we discussed already.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, thank you. Any other items from the bid package? Okay, so I'll go in numerical order. So that means I'll go to item number 10, bid 2022-336, repairs to, I'm sorry, give me one moment. Repairs to Rescue 2, that is found on page 71. Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Chief, a couple of clerical questions, I guess, to start out with. So on the invoice that we have here for $10,797, the description says the color is white, the year is 2021, but the make and model, it says a Ford F-550 pickup. Is that a typo or?
No, the Rescue 2 is mounted on a Ford 550 chassis.
So it's referred to as a pickup truck?
It's a Ford 550 Super Duty pickup truck chassis. It's an ambulance package.
Okay, but it's in fact the Rescue.
Correct.
Okay, because that certainly is a little bit confusing. And the VIN number, is correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the mileage of 28,286, that's correct?
That is correct.
The delivery date on this invoice, it says January 1st, 2021, promised for January 10th. Well, let's go back to the 2021. I'm sure that must be a typographical error, right?
I'm going to assume that was a typo.
Okay, so that should be, for the record, that should be January 1st, 2022. The promise date of January 10th, 2022, it says is that requisition order? Is that what, that's a repair order?
I would assume repair order.
Opened on January 10th, and it was ready on the 31st. So we delivered the vehicle to them on the 1st, and they didn't do anything with it until the 10th. Is that it?
For anything that has to do with the actual repair itself and not just the spending authority, you're going to have to ask DPW. They're the one that actually performed the repair or had the repair performed.
Christy, can you speak to this? I'm trying to codify that the information on this is correct.
So this is the 2021 Rescue. It is a Ford F-550 pickup. That's the cabin chassis. The body is separate. The delivery date, I believe, speaks to when it was delivered to the department, or I'm not sure. The RO was open. The repair order was open January 10th, 2022, and it was ready for pickup on January 31st, 2022.
Okay, so that information is correct. There's a note on here that says charge account, I guess. What does that mean?
So with this repair, from what I know about it, there was fluid was added to the diesel tank that shouldn't have gone in the diesel tank. There was just some confusion, I think. This was actually covered by the trust. And basically what happened is that the trust gave the money to the city, and the city has to pay the vendor. So it's not city funds. I believe they're using their 76, what's your budget code? 76359. So it's out of insurance proceeds.
Okay. So now you bring me to my next question as to, with a vehicle with 28,286 miles on it, why wasn't this under warranty? First question. And second question, on the bullet points at the bottom, if you could give us an explanation to what all that means.
It wasn't under warranty because it wasn't a warranty issue.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Why wasn't it a warranty issue?
Because There's two different there's two different pieces to the fuel system. You have the diesel that you put into the vehicle, and then you have the DEF fluid, which is diesel exhaust fluid, which mixes with the diesel as the vehicle runs. Diesel exhaust fluid was put into the diesel tank. It was driven, and then it contaminated the whole thing. So it was not a warranty issue. It had nothing to do with the performance from the manufacturer. It was an error on the part of whoever.
Somebody.
I don't know. But yes, that's so it wasn't a warranty issue. And as far as the bullet points, I'm not really sure which ones you're speaking about.
Well, I think you already spoke to it, because my questions were, you know, why was it necessary to drain the fuel, check the high pressure fuel system, et cetera, et cetera, on a brand new vehicle? It just seemed a bit odd. So with this invoice, on the back page, it shows a labor amount of $4,423.53. I don't see anywhere on this invoice where it shows us, or at least that I can understand on this invoice, where it shows to us the hourly rate and how many hours are charged to this repair. I don't know if I'm just not reading this right, or if you could help me out with that.
I don't necessarily see that spelled out either, but it was... The amount was $10,797, and that was fully covered by the trust.
No, I understand that, but the trust is an insurance policy that we pay for.
Yeah, I don't have...
So the coverage isn't free. We pay for that coverage. And when I'm looking at a bill for $4,423.53, you know, I would want to know, what is the labor rate they're charging us, and how many hours are we being charged for? I have no idea. Well, in my world, I wouldn't pay that invoice until I get an accounting as to how much labor are you charging me for time and how much per hour are you charging me. I want to know that. Otherwise, I ain't paying the bill. So how do we know that? I don't see it on this invoice.
This is the first time I've seen this invoice, so I don't know.
Also, it says down here, it says add 20 gallons of fresh diesel fuel, bleed fuel filter system. I don't see anything on this invoice, and I'm not looking to pay more money, but it needs to be clarified. I don't see anything on this invoice where we were charged for 20 gallons of diesel fuel. So was that something that was given to us as a no charge?
I don't see it either, but I couldn't speak to that. I don't know if it's part and parcel of them flushing mm-hmm. the system and then, you know, making sure that it's running properly once they do that.
Sure.
It could be included in the fee for that as overall.
Has this invoice already been paid?
No.
So, Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, I think that we need to ascertain how many hours were applied to fix this vehicle and what the hourly rate was that we were charged. I mean, how do we know if we're being charged $100 an hour or $200 an hour? And how do we know if we're getting a fair rate on this? You don't know, because it's not showing anything here. We have no idea how many hours were spent to fix this vehicle and what the hourly rate was. When we bid on these things, I understand that this is a 56.6, I get it. But when we award bids, we're always asking, what's the hourly rate? You want to know, because I'm not going to pay $200 for something that I should be paying $100 for. And then it might be minor, but nonetheless, it brings into question the invoice. The date on the invoice, delivery date, is wrong. Sure, it's a typo. I understand that. But my business, I wouldn't be paying this invoice until I get the answers to how many hours are we talking about and how much per hour. And I think we have the same responsibility to the taxpayers? We need to be able to answer that question.
Thank you, Councilman. Chief, do we already have this rescue back in service?
Yeah, we do.
And we're in good standing with TASCO?
As far as I know, yeah.
So a two-week while we get answers on this, because I feel I have to agree with what the councilman said. They do go out for bid on best rates, and I do realize it's paid for by the trusts. However, I think in the name of consistency, I would agree with what the councilman said. But in the meantime, I'll open it up to other members of the committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. I'm sorry. You weren't done.
Up on that. No, I just want to follow up on what you said. So, and not that I disagree with it. So I have a series of vehicles in my company, and we send those vehicles in for repairs. I want to know what the hell I'm paying for.
No, I agree.
I've never gotten an invoice like this. And I'll refrain on that comment. I'll just say, I've never gotten an invoice for repairing vehicles like this that don't give me the hours that were put into it and how much the rate was per hour. And I believe we have a bid from Tasker that does talk about hourly rates. I want to see the hourly rates.
I do believe the hours are there, Councilman, but I agree with you that you don't see the rate.
Where's the hours?
If you turn it over on the back, it's not lined up perfectly, but they have the time, and then it says service hours, S hours. So you'll see 5.51, 5.20. However, I do agree that that is something that's going to be...
It should be itemized.
I'm sorry?
It should be itemized. I mean, we shouldn't have to sit here, nor should purchasing or anyone else that's paying the bills and do the math.
I agree.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'd like to ask members of the committee, is there any questions, follow-up questions? Did you have one, Councilman? Members of the council, are there any questions or follow-up to what Councilman Lattiser said? And members of the public. I apologize. Chief, go ahead.
Just a couple statements. This is because this was covered by the trust. I'm assuming the adjuster that went out there and made the estimate as to what the repair costs were was already agreed upon between the trust and the city and the vendor, and that check has already been cut and given to the city. So this payment in full of $10,797.19, that check has already been deposited in the city account. So any changes to this invoice amount, we're going to have to refund money back to the trust in order to give them back money that they paid us that was agreed to by the adjuster who went out and made the initial estimate.
I understand. I hear what you're saying, Chief. So to approach this in a different way, I think to go with what the councilman is saying is, is Christy still here? Didn't see you. I think it would be smart for us to reach out to TASCA. I know we have a long relationship with them, and if there's a way that they could identify the rates and the hours, understand that this went through the trust, but still is a consistency thing, that the councilman is absolutely correct. We've talked about for years on this council about, you know, the bidding and the numbers. So with that said, I would support getting that answer. I'm fine with passing this as is now, because as he said, the trust, it's already been approved. However, I would join you, Councilman, in saying it would be good to see TASCA kind of put more detail into their invoices.